Well, good morning again. Beautiful day out there. Just one announcement that's been in the bulletin, but I want to highlight it. And that is that in 2 weeks, we will have a new members class. We do this about once a year, usually in the fall, and it's for people who are interested in exploring membership here at Grace Bible Church. And if you'd like to join us, then sign up or call the office. Be glad to have you. It's helpful to know how many people are coming so that we can order the magic decoder rings for all the people who are going to be in on the secrets of membership. All right? All right, let's go back and rehearse a little where we are, because some of you are new with us and others may have forgotten. We've been in a series now for a few weeks called The God Who Is Here. And we've been trying to emphasize for ourselves and understand this idea that the God who is presented to us in the Bible, the God and Father of Jesus Christ, is a God who is present. He is here with us. He is not just the God who is there. That is, he's not just the God who exists. I think as Christians, sometimes we spend too much time in a secular culture trying to affirm that God really exists. Well, that's important, but when you come to Scripture, that's just assumed. Nobody in the Bible is trying to prove that God exists. That's on the face of it so obvious that it doesn't need to be addressed. But what does need to be addressed is the God who is here with us. And that's what people in the ancient world, and we as well, struggle with to understand. That God is here today. He is real. And he is, in fact, as real as the person sitting next to you. And then we've said that the God who is here is a personal spirit. We actually said an infinite personal spirit, but he's a personal spirit. And therefore, he is a God of relationships, because that's part of what it means to be personal. I remember when I first started teaching too many years ago to really want to think about it. But I was teaching about God in a class and mentioned that God is personal, and a student, the kind that you always wish would be in somebody else's class, put up his hand and said, so what do you mean by personal? And it put me back a little bit, because I kind of thought that was obvious, so I had to think about it, and I said, well, you know, to be personal is to be rational, to have feelings, to have plans, purposes, all those kinds of things. What I think I didn't say at that point was that to be personal means to be relational, to be in relationship with other people. That's part of personality. And so when we talk about the God who is here, we're talking about a God who is infinitely relational. I'm finitely relational. We talked about that, right? There's a limit to how many people I can have real personal relationship with. But God can have relationship with everyone in this room and everyone anywhere else who desires that. And then we've said that relationship is established and it's maintained through communication. So this God who is here, we saw the last couple weeks, is a God who speaks. He's a God of the words. And he speaks through what he's made, through creation. He speaks through God's word. He speaks ultimately, preeminently, through his Son, who is the eternal word of God. He is God expressing himself in ways that you and I can begin to comprehend. So we want to pursue this more today. We want to think about the voice of God. and hearing it. And I thought we might begin with John chapter 10, these well-known verses by Jesus, where he says, "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs up or climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. My sheep hear my voice," Jesus says, "and I know them, and they follow me." That's the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. The sheep listen to his voice. So I want to think this morning about listening and some about how we go about doing that. We need to listen. I was reviewing this week just some Old Testament comments about listening. Again and again in the prophets, the complaint that God has with Israel is that they do not listen. They hear because God sends them the prophets again and again and again who speak God's words to them, but they are not listening people. If we are to know and to relate to the God who is here, who is the God of the Word, who speaks over and over again, we've got to listen. Mature relationships involve listening. That means more than talking. A happy home, a happy, peaceful home. Mom and dad exhausted. The children going about their happy and destructive ways. What is it that exhausts parents? Well, 100 things, right? 100 things about raising kids. But here is one thing. The communication seems to be so one-directional. That is, with children, there is very little listening that goes on. There's a lot of talking. I remember when our kids were little that my wife Sharon would just be regularly exhausted. We had 4 kids. And I remember comments occasionally like how good it would be at the end of the day just to have an adult conversation. Right? Because a conversation with children tends to be children simply talking at you, not really dialogue back and forth. Mature relationships involve more than talking. And they involve listening, right? Sometimes in our relationship with God, all I think about doing is talking. I mean, prayer is talking to God, right? But the question is prayer only talking to God? For many years, I thought prayer was only talking to God. I didn't understand that prayer was also listening. And I think that's been a missing piece for me for a long time. Prayer is speaking and listening. Prayer is moving into mature relationship. And in fact, prayer is the center and heart of this relationship that God desires with us. It's more than talking. It's more than hearing, too, isn't it? A mature relationship. The body language on this guy suggests that he's hearing, but he's not listening. You think? Listening involves more than hearing. It involves paying attention. Again, Jeremiah, complaint. Several times over in Jeremiah, the Lord says, they did not listen or pay attention. They didn't consider thoughtfully what God had to say for them, what kind of a God it was that was speaking to them. They were diverted by all sorts of other things. Yeah, I understand that. That's a challenge in human relationships, not paying attention, but it's a challenge in our relationship with God. That the God who is the God of the Word, who is right here present, who is speaking to us, we're distracted. We're not paying attention to Him. What's the importance of the listening, the paying attention, the giving heed? Well, the importance is that it's through listening that we cultivate friendship. And the God who is here is a God who is seeking friendship. Friendship with you. And listening is a primary, not the only, but it's a primary way of cultivating friendship. Intentionally giving heed. I have a few good long-term friends. One friend I went to high school with. We went to the same college together. We were roommates for a time. He was best man at my wedding. And now we haven't lived in the same town for 50 years. And he's still my friend. Close friend. But I have to cultivate that friendship, as he does as well. So when he is in town, I just actually got a note from him this morning. He's going to be in town next week. Can you have breakfast on Saturday morning? Well, I probably can. And if I can, I will, because I want to cultivate that friendship. I understand that it doesn't just happen by accident. Your relationship with the God who is here will not happen by accident, friend. It will happen as you cultivate it, as you learn how to listen to and listen for God's voice. It's not magic. It's pretty basic stuff here. We need to be people who listen. Well, I forgot I had added this in. You know, the two people in the Old Testament who are described as being friends of God, one is Moses. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And the other one is Father Abraham, the great model for faith in the whole Bible, what it means to walk by faith. And he's described three times as the friend of God. A friend. And there's a pattern there. See, they stand out because there are so many people who know something about God but are not friends. There's lots of Christians who know something about God, but they're not friends because they're not cultivating it. They're not cultivating friendship. It's not that God doesn't want more friends. God seeks friends. Gordon Smith is a very wise contemporary writer, wise in terms of the dynamics of the Christian life. He says, "We often speak as though God has only work for us to do, and that if we talk to God, he will give us more work, more responsibilities, and probably some business we would rather not do." You ever have that feeling? Such a perspective is a consumerist distortion of God. For the Lord, relationship comes before accomplishment. He does not love us for what he can get out of us. He loves us for ourselves. He loves us as we are, for he created us. He calls us friends. Have you gotten to that place in your relationship with the Lord where you understand that relationship comes before accomplishment or before doing? That's that Mary-Martha story again, isn't it? Martha is worried about accomplishments. Mary is worried about relationship. Friendship. He calls us friends. So we need to be listening people who cultivate friendship with God. Now, the question is, where and how do we listen? And I want to talk about that for the rest of our time this morning, and then I want to pick it up again next week, because this is really a big issue, I think. Where do we listen? Well, there's all sorts of places that we might overhear the words of God. There's the more exceptional and extraordinary places that I'm not going to talk about at this point, at least. There are things like visions and dreams, audible voices that are heard that convey the word of God. There's examples throughout Scripture of this kind of thing happening. Does it still happen today? I think absolutely. There's all kinds of credible stories of people having visions or dreams. There are good numbers of people in the Muslim world who are coming to Christ through dreams. All right? And some of you may have had dreams where you sensed that God was really speaking to you. Now, I'm not going to talk about that in part because I don't think I've ever had that experience. Right? My dreams, I read some of these people say, if you have a dream, get up and write down what you can remember and think about it because God may be speaking to you. I couldn't write down what I dreamed the moment I wake up from a dream. They're just totally irrational. So that's not a help to me. But see, God is a God of infinite variety and ability, and he knows how to connect with us according to our personalities and according to our expectations. So there are those extraordinary means. I'm not going to talk about them. I want to talk about the more basic kinds that I think are common to all believers. So where do we listen? Obviously, a major source, some would say the primary source for listening to God is Scripture itself. The other week we looked at Paul's statement that all Scripture is God-breathed. Scripture is an example of what we have called the divine-human partnership, in which human beings think about God, they listen for God's voice, and then they write. And as they write, the Holy Spirit carries them along. That's what Peter says. Holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so Scripture is that interesting example of divine human partnership, where we say this is a human word, but it is simultaneously God's word. And so we often call it God's word, the Bible, Scripture. And there God speaks to us. Now, let's just push that a little bit further, because I think for a good part of my life, I shortchanged what that meant. Here's the way I thought about it. The Bible is God's word. God breathed it out through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as human beings wrote what they heard from God or what they thought about God. And so then our task is to read that, understanding we're reading somebody else's mail. Right? This is thousands of years old documents written to somebody else. It's not written to me specifically. So I read something that's written to somebody else, different time, different culture, and I study as best I can. I learn some ancient history, perhaps. I do some linguistic study in Greek or Hebrew, and I study commentaries. And my goal is to find out what it meant originally, and when I find out what it meant originally or what I think it did, then I try to say, well, how would that translate to somebody living thousands of years later, namely me? All right? In that understanding, this is God's word. It's what God spoke long ago, which now I work with, and I figure out what God spoke to me. Maybe that's the understanding you were given. I'd like to suggest that we advance that a little bit, and we say not only is the Bible God's spoken word, which was spoken as holy men of God were carried along by the Holy Spirit, but that Scripture is also the place today where God speaks present tense. He speaks now. That the Spirit who guided or inspired the original writers is the same Spirit who is present today when we read and hear the Word, so that the Spirit is presently communicating His Word. It's not just that He did it. Dallas Willard, I think, is the one who coined this interesting phrase, Bible deism. We've talked about deism, right, that God created the world and then He's off somewhere doing something else and the world runs on by itself. And Dallas says there's a parallel for a lot of Christians the way they view the Bible. They view it as something that God did long ago, and now it's up to us to make sense of it, right? But if we think about the Spirit as present today as we read the Scripture, then there's a fresh dynamic of God still speaking. We say, the God who is here is speaking to us. Where is He speaking? Well, He's speaking in the Word. As we open ourselves and listen to it, the Spirit is still present. Part of the renewed interest in the ancient practice, which is called, you may have heard the term, Lectio Divina, divine reading of Scripture. Some folks here are practicing that. I think Christine's has a Sunday school class where people are doing this, and Jack and some of the other brothers are meeting before this service over in the other building, and they're practicing Lectio. What is that about? Well, it's about a prayerful listening to Scripture to hear the voice of the Lord. It's not a Bible study. See, it's a listening, believing that the Spirit of God is present with His Word, and it's a dynamic, present experience. That's what's behind that idea. Where do we listen? We listen in Scripture. But we also listen in our thoughts. This interesting verse in Proverbs 20. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. It's kind of a mysterious verse, isn't it? Interesting picture of God going through our inner spirit with a lamp, illuminating things. But God's doing that through our own spirits. God uses our spirits to bring inner illumination. I'm not sure I get all of what's in there, but it's a pretty remarkable idea. Or how about Psalm 139? O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So here we are, friends. The God who is here has full access to every element of your spirit, to all of your thoughts. Now, I've often heard that in a kind of frightening, scary way. But in Scripture, it's not that. In Scripture, it's more the sense that God is present in our inner being. He is that close. He has access to all our thoughts. And part of that, then, is that he is able to speak into our thoughts and to speak with our thoughts. There is a lot that can go on in terms of guidance, direction, encouragement, and strengthening as God speaks to us in our thoughts. How does that happen? Well, sometimes it happens as an aha moment. Have you ever had any of those where maybe you were caught totally by surprise? Maybe you were wrestling with an issue, but maybe it was just out of the blue. All of a sudden you had a thought, oh, that's interesting, or that's important, or this is what I ought to do. And maybe it was so dramatic that it changed the course of your life. I've had a few of those situations. And I think, you know, the more I look back at them, the more experience I have and perspective with life, the more I'm convinced that those were places where God spoke in and through my thoughts. I don't think that came to me just by chance. But then there are other times when it's not an aha moment, it's just it may be an idea that came to you as you were listening to other people, or maybe you were reading Scripture, but you began to think, well, I wonder. And you didn't do anything, you put it on the back burner, and a week or a month later, you found yourself thinking about it again. And you said, huh, that's interesting. Maybe this is something I need to attend to. I need to give attention to it. And in the process of that sort of thinking, an idea grows and it becomes a direction or it becomes a significant place in your life. What is happening there? I think, at times at least, what is happening is that God is speaking in our thoughts and through our thoughts. We are hearing God's word because he has full access to all of our interior being. And to those things, we need to pay attention. We need to listen. And then, of course, we can listen through other people. This is part of, I think, part of understanding what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, which has the mind of Christ. The body of Christ, where I don't listen by myself or cultivate a solitary relationship with God. I do it together with other people. And the result is that other people then, sensitive also to God and listening to Him, may in fact speak to me in ways that they may intend to do it, or it may just be through a casual conversation, even unintentionally, they may speak the word of God to me. This is why there's such danger in, you know, being a Lone Ranger Christian and trying to get through the Christian life thinking that all I need is Jesus and the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Well, you need all those, friends. You also need the body of Christ. You need other believers, because as you share life with them, one thing that they do is they speak the word of God to you, if you are listening. That's where it's particularly helpful to think about gathering together on the Lord's Day or in small groups at different occasions to think about what you are doing. You are meeting with God's people, and one thing that comes out of that is you have an opportunity to hear God's word spoken through another human being. Does God do that? Of course He does. That's what the Bible is. It's God speaking through human beings, the divine human partnership. So look around you at all the other partners and understand that they have the potential to speak God's word into your life. So come with expectation. All right? All kinds of ways and places where you can hear God's word when you gather with God's people. And we give time for a sermon and focus on Scripture, but that doesn't mean this is the only way or place you hear the word of God, huh? We sing. Some of the words of a song may convey God's word to you more powerfully than anything else that happens today. Don led us in very thoughtful prayer based on the Psalms. Maybe something that he prayed for, an expression of praise that he used, caught your attention. And that is God speaking into your life. Or maybe we go downstairs and get our caffeine and some indulgent pastry. But in a conversation down there, someone speaks a word to you that is God's word in a distinctive way. Because God is present with His people, and He's here. And the question is, am I listening? Are you listening for this God? So, through others, and then through circumstances, right? The irony is, I found this little slide on the internet. You know what the heading for it was? Faith does not look at circumstances. That was the heading. So I'm using it contrary to the intention of the author, right? Because I think faith absolutely does look at circumstances. Now, not all circumstances are going to be God's word to you, but some of them will. You may not recognize it immediately at the time, but some of them will. So we have to take into account, as people who are listening always for God and cultivating friendship with God, we listen for His voice and we look at a world where we believe He is sovereign, He's in control of circumstances, and we say, Lord, I want to be thoughtful and discerning about life, and I want to be open to hearing You speak through circumstances. I've had some of those dramatic occasions too in my life. I started out college thinking I was going to be a chemist. I enjoyed chemistry in high school, so I studied chemistry for 2.5 years in college. I did well. I did well until I came to a course called analytical chemistry. Analytical chemistry is the course where you not only determine what's in certain substances, but how much stuff is in them, right? It's quantitative, it's not qualitative. The theory is pretty simple. The course I had was a 4-hour course, 4 credit hours. 2 hours of the class were theory, and then 6 hours you spent in the lab each week, and you actually did determinations. And you got 50% of your grade for the course theory, and you got 50% for the lab. Pretty straightforward, right? I was going to be a chemist. I can't tell you how much frustration I had with that course. I could not do it. And the grades were all based not on some ideal standard, but on what students had done for 20 years. You were graded on a bell curve against all those results, same determinations all those years. No secrets, right? You just had to do it. You just had to put in your time. Didn't work for me, friends. There was some secret I was missing. So at the end of the course, I got an A for the theory, and I got an F for the lab. My only F in college. I got a C for the course. And I said, I'm not going to be a chemist. And the interesting thing was that about that time, the Lord had really taken hold of my life in some other ways. And this circumstance then actually became a major redirection of my life that ended up 6 months later, the aha moment of going to seminary, which I'd never in my life considered before, and I did it. And now I look back on, 50 years, and I say, God, you were speaking. That was your word to me. And so God will do that. He has infinite ways that he can speak if we are listening. So let's wrap this up for today. Let's try to remember this week and in days to come. The God who is here is looking for friends. He's not looking primarily for people to give a job. That's part of it. But the job is within the context of friendship. He's looking for friends. The God who is here, who is next to you, who is even speaking into your spirit, if you will listen, is a God looking for friends. The value of your friendship to God is the cross. See, I may not value God's friendship, or I may not think of it very highly. I may think of God more as a cosmic Santa Claus who maybe I can persuade to do good things for me. See, I don't value God's friendship nearly as much as I should. But God values friendship measured by the cross. Here's what Jesus said. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends. That's the value of friendship to God. That's why he's here. That's why he's seeking you out. That's why, if you will listen, he's always speaking to you. Friendship. Next week, we'll pursue this a little bit farther. Let's pray together. Lord, the basic truth that we've been thinking about this morning is so profound, so powerful that it's hard to get our minds around it, and maybe even harder to get our hearts around it. That you desire to be our friend. That this is what you are up to in all of human history. Calling out, seeking a people who turned their back on you, but winning them back, inviting them, persuading them to trust you, to love you, to enjoy you, to rejoice in you. Lord, we need your Spirit to just give us a profound taste of your goodness, your grace, your love toward us. This week, as we go from this place, may we go with listening ears, paying attention to your speaking to us, growing in that divine human friendship. Because we believe that Jesus came to make that possible. And he is our Lord, and we trust in him, and we pray in his name. Amen.